Latham family. This is a family that the Prices are familiar with, and a family member passed away, so add the Latham family. And then Brother Claire Potts is facing a medical procedure. They'll have a consultation with the doctor tomorrow and perhaps surgery on Friday. So great for Brother Claire. Things go well for him. Take your song book, turn to page number 359. Let's stand together, and the ushers will come forward on the last verse of Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. 359.
Thank you.
Sing praises to a God that is great, great and merciful, almighty. Thank you guys for putting that together. Good to see Brother Dick in church with us this morning. I'm glad he's here. Be in much prayer for Brother Fox as decisions have been made, and maybe this end of this week they'll be doing a procedure on his kidney. Glad that the Phillips are here with us. Thankful for them. Sister Kent. Well, we had quite a few having surgeries. Sister Swagman had needles poked all in there. Be in prayer for her. She's here. Sister Cindy's limping around. But we're glad that you're all here, and we're thankful for it. And be mindful of the time that we're in. Wash your hands and keep your nose from running everywhere. And God's still God.
Amen. He
certainly is. So don't be caught up in the fear, but be cautious. Be wise as serpent, as harmless as doves. And so be very careful with your body. So we're glad that you're here. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter number 6 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to finish up this here sermon today. We started it last week, and I'll give a recap for those that are here with us so they can catch up and be with us on the same sheet of music kind of as we look together. But Ephesians chapter 6. And this is growing as a Christian and our everyday battles. Our everyday battles. A series on growth that we've been doing here at the church for a couple of three or four Sundays. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. Actually, let's go to verse 10. Let's back up to verse 10. Ephesians 6, 10. We'll read again what we read last week. We'll read down to verse number 20. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray always with all power, supplication, and spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So as we look here and do a little recap, we learned last week that we do have an enemy. The enemy is the devil and his demons. The Bible says about the devil that he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Jesus told Peter that Satan wanted to sift him as wheat. And I don't believe there's none of us here could stand shoulder to shoulder with Peter in the spiritual walk that he had towards the end. And if the devil wanted to sift him, dear friend, I'm telling you, he wants to sift you. He is your enemy. But on top of the enemy, God has given us an armor. As we read in verses 14 through 17, there we have six different pieces of armor. And last week we covered three of those types of armor. We covered the girdle of truth, and how important it is that we live as truthful people, that we speak truth, that we understand that truth stands on its own. It does not have to be propped up or built up around. It stands, and it's always easier to remember the truth than it is a lie. There's none of us that smart that we will continue to remember the lies that we tell. Just from experience, so you know that I'm human, is that one lie leads to another. Another lie leads to another. And another one leads to another until we're found out. Be sure your sin will find you out. But with truth, it's always there. It's always consistent. It's firm. The Bible tells us, sanctify thyself, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. So we learn that the first part of the armor against the enemy is truth. Why? Because as John 8:44 said, the devil is a liar. The beginning of lies. So you have a lie and you have truth, and the truth shall prevail because we live in truth of the Word of God. And so the next piece of armor we looked at was the breastplate of righteousness. Well, we understood that the Bible teaches us that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So we're not standing in our righteousness, we're standing in the righteousness of Christ. And the only way that happens is by faith. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. So you stand there in your self-righteousness and your wickedness and your calamity of sin, and you know that you need help, and you know that you need a Redeemer, you need atonement, you need forgiveness, and that comes from God the Father, who sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary to pay the sin debt. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. So you come to that realization that, hey, I am a sinner. There is a heaven. There is a hell. And without Christ, I will spend eternity in hell, the abode of the devil and his angels. That's why God originally created it. But because of the fall of man, now men And women, we have to make a choice in this lifetime. What will you do with Jesus? You have to make a choice now, because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So you have to make a decision while you're alive. And that decision is not on sacraments, it's not on religious works, it's not on attendance in Bible school or Sunday school or Bible clubs, it's not on attendance, how often you find yourself in church. Has nothing to do with that. Church has its place. The sacraments has its place. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. So you can come to church and you can be in every Sunday school class, Bible club, every Bible study that our church puts on, and three more down the road. You can spend 17, 18 hours a day around religious activity. Without Christ, this is what he said. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I know you not. So you come to realize, hey, I need Jesus. And you accept Christ by faith and repentance to God. God, I am sorry. I am a sinner. I've transgressed your law. I live wickedly. I am wicked. I need Jesus. And by faith, the Bible says, any man, any woman that calls upon Jesus in repentance, believing in his heart, shall be saved. And instantaneously, at that moment, the righteousness of Christ is imputed in us. And we are now in Christ, and Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so we have the breastplate of righteousness. Now it's Christ's righteousness, showing outward that others may see the hope that which lies within us. And then we saw that we should shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The only way you're going to be busy about the work of the Lord and spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, is to understand that you have truth. Truth is the Word of God. You have righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Acts 1:8 says, after the Holy Ghost come on you, you shall receive power to be a witness unto me, unto Jesus, in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. That happens because of the power of God in you. And so you have truth. You accept truth. You accept Christ, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, His righteousness, and then you want to tell people. That's why we shod our feet. You can't go tell people about a Jesus you do not know. Oh, but Pastor, I learned about Jesus in Sunday school. I've got all kind of knowledge. Head knowledge is not what you need, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. We have a lot of religious people that know things in their mind and could pass an exam on paper, but their heart is far from God. And they know not Christ, their first Lord and Savior. And so these three parts of the armor, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, you're out there able to tell people about Christ, but you're still half-dressed in the armor of God. And this is where many of us live in our Christian walk. We're half there. We should be all in. He said, put on the whole armor of God. But you know what we do many times as Christians, Brother Jim? We compare ourselves with others, and we look at this one, we look at that one, and say, well, I might not have my feet shod with the preparation of God, but I have the word of faith. I have the sword of the Lord. But you're doing nothing with it. You're just sitting on it, and you're canned up, and you're not telling people that Jesus Christ loves them. So you have half the armor. And so today, we want to finish this passage because, listen, when I get dressed to go out, dear friend, I want to have on all of my clothes. I don't want it to get to the point where they put out one of these alerts on the billboard out there and looking for me, and I'm walking around half dressed. I don't want to get to that point. Listen, and I don't want you as God's children to walk into this battle, because we have a spiritual battle that we are facing, and we're going half dressed into this battle. And we're wondering why we're defeated. So we learned about the enemy, we learned about the armor, but we did not cover the energy. And found in verse 18, I want to spend a little time here before we jump into the other, and I'll reconnect it, but the energy. Here's the energy. I believe we as God's people are, we are putting effort and energy into things that don't amount to a hill of beans. The energy that we need comes from the power of God. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Sometimes I think we pray so people can hear us instead of God hearing us. We pray so we can show our spirituality to others, and our lips are speaking, but our hearts disconnected with God, the power that is there. The energy that we need comes from God. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, watching therefore thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I believe we waste a whole lot of energy on things that's not going to amount to nothing tomorrow, next week, and certainly not in eternity. I think sometimes we're too often pouring energy into the past and allowing the present to die. And when the present dies, there is no future. For when there's no vision, the people perish. The past has its place. Remove not the ancient landmarks. That has its place. But God didn't say settle around it. You remember when the nation of Israel came through the Jordan, they took up 12 stones and they placed it there. Go back and study it. Why was it? In case they passed by again, hey, what's these stones? They weren't to encamp around the stones. In case they passed by again, Brother Ray, we could say, hey, this is what God did. And we move forward for the cause of Christ. I think we're too often we spend too much energy for the future. Dreaming. We sit around like we're Christians in a mirage. You know what Jesus said? God said to us that He's given us power that we may live in this present world. We're so busy back yonder, so busy up yonder, that we're useless today. We're just ambling along. What you waiting on? Well, one day, well, do you remember when? What about today? Today is the day of salvation. We can live so far back yonder and so far up yonder that people around us die without Christ. So I said, the energy, praying always, we've got to put energy in the right things and the things that are important to God. And I don't find nothing more important to God than souls. Amen. Nothing. Souls. He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, have everlasting life. Verse 16. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Two things that strike me as I read this. That we, dear friend, are under attack. We are under, and it's not, I don't know if we as God's people don't understand that the devil is not our friend. It seems as though we camp out at his doorstep or open our doors of our life for him to invade. Sometimes he don't even have to invade. He's just sitting there with us because of the activities of our life and the things that we're involved in, and we're not understanding that we are under fiery darts, dear friend. That's what he says, fiery darts. Faith is, and he says here, above all. The three that we looked at, the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod in preparation of truth, and then he gets to the fourth one, which is the shield of faith, and he says, above all, take the shield of faith that we may be able to stand against the fiery darts of the wicked, of the devil. Now, when you go back into this time of history and you look at when this was written, there's two types of shields. There's two different types of shield. There was one with Theros, which was a large shield. And then there was the aspis, which was a smaller shield. When you go back and you look at this, it was brought out, and this is brought forth speaking of the larger shield. It's speaking of the larger one, as the larger is it, that we may be able to be protected. This is still a defensive. We've yet to have one offensive piece of equipment given to us by God. So he gives us this big shield because, listen, the fiery darts of the devil are coming from each and every direction. He looks for our weakest points. I mean, he looks for the points that get at us quickly and get us off track quickly. Like what? Like, hey, do you understand that pride is a fiery dart of the devil? Pride gets us depending upon ourselves. Pride says, look at what we've accomplished. Look at what I have done. Pride gets the attention on us, where we have to decrease and he must increase. And not too many times do we realize that, hey, this is a dart of Satan trying to pump us up. We're not to love the world or the things of this world. What is one of those? The pride of life. Pride's a fiery dart of Satan. How about envy? How many times you got ready Sunday morning, got yourselves all dressed up, got prepared, and you're getting ready to come to church, and you get out there and you look over there, and there's your neighbor with his sailboat hooked to the back of his SUV, and he's heading to the beach. And you say, well, I sure wish I had a sailboat. I wish I could go to the beach. And you come here, the choir sings, the instrumentals play, the offering is taken. Yeah, but I don't pay attention to that preacher because all y'all want is money anyway. You miss the whole point of offering. Offering's worship. Because you know where your mind is? Selling a boat. Driving your SUV. Well, I wish I had this old GMC if I just had a Range Rover. Envy, a fiery dart of the devil. Then you get here and say, wow, look at her shoes. I bet she gets her shoes from Cato, and I got to get mine from Payless. There's no way you can hear the still small voice of God because you're ate up with envy. Envy. Oh, here's a good one. How about worry? You know, the Bible teaches us that the tomorrow will handle itself. The trouble that's there is going to be there. Worry. And listen, right now, some of you are so worried about your 401k. Like this here virus going around is going to eat up every bit of your savings. And I tell you to be cautious. We're not telling you to be wise. But do you understand something, dear friend? Naked you came into this world, and naked you shall return. That the things that are allowed into our lives as children of God has to sift through the hand of God. They may mean it for evil. Well, give me an example. How about Joseph? His own brothers. But he came to realize that God meant it for good. Worry. Worry. And you're worrying. Man, I got a car, I got 2 years warranty on it. What's going to happen the third year? My refrigerator is 4 years old and my extended warranty is gone. What is going to happen when the refrigerator breaks down? I just bought $200 worth of steak meat in there and it's going to ruin. So you go out and buy an igloo. Wait, no, an igloo's not where I got to get a Yeti. So now you got an igloo and a Yeti. What's going to happen? If the freezer goes down, my ice machine goes down, what am I going to do? And we're worrying. That's a fiery dart of the devil. He's got you worrying and worrying about things, not things that are real. I'm talking imaginary things. Do you not know the scripture where the Bible commands and teaches us to bring every thought and imagination of the mind into captivity? Because you're worrying. That's a fiery dart of the devil. Fear. Fear. Oh, and I got this test tomorrow. And I don't know if I don't pass this test, I'm going to have a 3.8. And I've only studied for 2 weeks on this one test. Not that I haven't put effort. But how am I going to pass this test? Oh, I've got this project at work. And if I don't get this project just correct and just right, my boss may not put me in for that new pay raise. And you're fearful. Like a deer in the headlights. Just afraid. Many churches are afraid to reach their community because what if they don't accept us? That is the problem. If we're trying to get them to accept us, when the Bible says if He be lifted up, Jesus, would draw all men to Him. It ain't about getting them to accept us. It's about to get them to understand their need for Jesus. Fear. So, Pastor, if we do that, Pastor, if you preach on that, Pastor, if you say this, you're going to, Pastor, before long, we're like a bunch of bald-headed preachers running around. Yeah. I have feared what men and women might say. It's a fiery dart of Satan. And sometimes, dear friend, they come from the saints within. How about this one? Lust. Not lust for the opposite, lust for things. Lust. We lust after. We chase after. We got to have that next thing. Then it's a driving desire within us, an appetite. What gets us chasing after all this stuff? A fiery dart of Satan. If it gets me running here, gets me running there, running over there, I have no time for God. Because I'm running north, south, east, and west, and I'm not looking upward. He said, take the shield of faith. Not that little shield. The big shield. What would the big shield do? Let's read again, verse 16. Above all. This is what he says. Above all, take the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench 3 or 4 or 5 fiery darts. All the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith. When you got time sometimes, I don't have time this morning because we're running a little bit deep into that, but take time just to read Hebrews chapter 11. Just take time to read it and just soak it in. If you want to know what faith does, faith is action. Sometimes we think faith is some mystical thing that's out there, but faith moves us. Faith causes us to act because we have confidence. I know whom I believe, says 1 Timothy. We have faith. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Well, just a minute, Pastor. You just told me we took the righteous, we was imputed with righteous. We already have that. You know where most of us live many times after being saved? Most of us live this way. Man, I failed. Doggone, I didn't want to do that again. And the devil comes whispering in our ear, are you sure you're saved? You know, saved people wouldn't do that. You sure? Where does the helmet go? This is part of heaven. Where would a helmet go? Where would I wear the helmet? Oh, what's inside? I know, not air. Not rocks. I know what you're thinking. That air-headed, rock-headed preacher. No! What's in there? The mind. Take the helmet of salvation. Put the helmet of salvation to protect the mind. The assurance that I know without a shadow of a doubt, I am a child of the King. And though I may fail in today and tomorrow, He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The battle of the mind. Take the helmet of salvation, because I'm telling you, dear friend, the accuser of the brethren is going to come and tell you, you're not worthy. Look at you. You've done this. You've done that. And you've fallen into this once again. The righteous man falleth 7 times, yet riseth again. The helmet of salvation. Why do I need the helmet of salvation? Verse 20, that's why. Listen to what Paul said. Verse 20. Now verse 19. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly. How was that? He had confidence in his Lord to make known the mystery of the gospel. You remember I told you I was listening to that there crazy podcast, and they told that in that podcast, I don't know, tell the name, but anyway, told in that podcast that you better be careful, preachers. You remember fear? Remember fear? Fiery darts coming from the brethren? You better be careful, preachers, because if you mispronounce those Bible names, your church might fire you. I've been here, September would be 12 years. I think y'all would have done fire me probably about 784,000 times. But it gets, you know what happens, Brother Jim? I get over there, I get my little Bible program, my audio Bible, and I click. I feel like I'm on that commercial Bible. Or Rosetta Stone. Yeah, the Rosetta Stone one. You know, where they're trying to learn a different language. I'm thinking, Lord, I'm sorry. You created this old dusty body. You planted me in Mississippi. Moved me to Louisiana. No wonder I say virtue. No wonder I can't pronounce Zedekiah correctly, or the Amorite's fourth cousin, Jonathan's nephew. What's his name? The one underneath there was lame. What was his name? Who? Mephibosheth. No one. Lord, you planted me here. Lord, you have. I'm not saying don't better yourself. I do try to better myself. And I tell you, what has helped me much and tremendously is reading along with the audio. Except now I have, they deleted my other one. Probably because I didn't pay for it. I listened to it 3 years. The read just, I mean, just smooth. Now the one I found, he's a drumicide. So sometimes I'm scared I'm going to get up here and say, and above all. Where'd that come from? I mean, in the middle of my reading, I'm sitting there listening, and he changes tones. I'm like, don't do that to me. I have assurance in my Savior that He loves me. And though I may fail, He's faithful and just to forgive me when I confess, when I own it, when it's mine. So take the helmet of salvation. The sixth and final part, he says in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Finally, to the last and peace and final offensive weapon. I know what you're thinking. We've gone down through there. We got down to five. We got the girdle of truth. Well, we're looking like we're part of the gladiator team now. You know, we got the breastplate of righteousness, and we got our feet shod with preparation of the gospel. We got this huge big old shield that we can't even lift up and carry. Big old shield. We got our helmet of salvation. Boy, it's got a big old spear sticking off the top. But then the Lord says, take the sword of the Spirit. Oh, yeah. Which is the Word of God. Just takes the air right out of your armor. But if you stop and think about it, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, what did he use? The Word of God. And who did he defeat? Satan. And who is our enemy? Found right here. The Word of God. I think many times, dear friend, you and I fail to realize the power that is in one simple text of verse of Scripture of the Word of God. The very power of God's Word. The comfort it brings to people. So in all of this fighting, this spiritual battle, it's all things that are given to us by the Lord that brings victory into our life. Every last one of these. The truth, you know as well as I do, from a babe we come forth speaking lies. Righteousness, we have no righteousness. Before Christ moved into our heart, saved our souls, we had no desire to tell people about Jesus. No desire. That come from God. No. A shield of faith. The only faith I have is given to me by God. The faith I live by the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 2:20. I didn't have that faith. Because God says here, because I love you. Faith. The helmet of salvation. Why did I need confidence in a God I didn't know? But after, God gave me all this. And then he gave me a word that has been preserved and kept and forever settled that I can use in spiritual battle. So next time, husband and wives, when you think you got a scrap, just start quoting scripture at each other. You think you got to fuss and fight one another? Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 20. Give me thanks all. Oh, that kind of takes the bite out of a fight, don't you? She whips her. Oh, Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 25. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. You ain't fighting with you if I'm talking about Jesus. Got to do away. But you know what? We spend too much time battling fights that are not spiritual. Spiritual. Lord, help us. God, we love you. What a day. Summary of the armor. Here we go. Girdle of truth, breastplate of righteousness, preparation of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is the power of God. God's Word is powerful, and He speaks, and the winds and the waves calm and be still. Prayer, verse number 18, our energy, our strength, where we should spend most of our time battling, is right there. Onward, Christian soldiers. We're not to retreat. The Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the Lord's church. Got to be busy. Fight battles that are important to eternity. Not who gets to ride or drive or pay a bill or couldn't pay a bill. Spend time with each other. Circling yourselves and putting Christ in the middle so that you can stand therefore in the whole armor of God. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Jim is on his way. Sister Lois is coming. What page will sing from?
341.
341, if you would, please, in the songbook.